Good evening. First thing they start doing is looking at the time and saying, wait a second, it's not evening. But sometimes some people don't really get it. Sometimes we're just so into the conversation that we just follow the person just because they said it. All right? Anyways, good afternoon. See, I got you there. It's still morning, actually. We still have about maybe 6 or so minutes before it becomes the afternoon. All right, as was said earlier, most of you who don't know me, my name is Calvin McBridge, and I was formerly one of the youth leaders at Bethel Gospel Chapel. I have been in youth ministry for pretty much all of my life. I got involved when I was about 16 years of age, and I just recently stepped down about a year ago, from the youth ministry section, and I am absolutely grateful to be here this morning. My son is here with me, Mr. Nathan McBridge. My wife and daughter is not able to make it today, but we just want to say thank you very much to PCC for inviting us to come here. Amen? Amen. Now, I understand that you've been dealing with the issue of God's money throughout the whole month or so, right? And I got to tell you, I've listened to the messages, and it is awesome. I don't know if you really understand how fortunate we are as believers to actually tackle some of these issues when it deals with money. As a matter of fact, when I listened to some of the messages that Pastor Gary was speaking, it kind of made me look back in my life and said, man, I just wish I knew this when I was 18 years of old, or even a little bit earlier. Because I wouldn't have made some of the mistakes that I made in my life. When he started talking about viewing money vertically, I mean, just imagine that. You view your money based on God's perspective and not your perspective. And then he started talking about earning it justly. Just think about that. In the world that we're living in today, where there are so many people that are trying to earn a financial living the wrong way. As a matter of fact, the University of Miami faced some problems many years ago because of the guy that was a schemer. Right? And I'm just so sad that we lost yesterday to Florida State. But we go recover, right? You fans? All right. So he talked about viewing it vertically, earning it justly, and then he talked about give generously. And then he moved on from giving generously to the message last week where he talked about what? Utilizing it effectively. That God's money is God's money and he has loaned it to us and it is our responsibility to make sure that we utilize it effectively. Amen? Amen. So today, what I plan to talk to you about is a little bit close to some of the things that Gary actually deal with in the message last week. He talked about utilizing it effectively. Today, I am going to talk about the subject of developing it. Developing it. Now, here's the reason why. Because I believe that every single one of us that are here in the presence of the Lord has been given some resources by God. And it is our responsibility as believers to make sure that we develop the gift and the resources that God has given us before we can utilize it effectively. Amen? You see, sometimes we get all these gifts and we don't really realize what the gifts are for or how do we even use it. But until we learn what those gifts are, how do we develop those gifts, and now be able to utilize it, you would be surprised to see how God will pack this auditorium. I am a strong believer of that. The Bible believes it, and we're going to uncover it this morning. If you do have your Bibles, please turn with me in the book of Matthew. We will be reading from the 25th chapter. Matthew chapter 25, and we'll read from verse 14 until verse 30. When you find it, would you please say amen with me this morning? There are some people here I would not want to play swords in hand with. Matthew chapter 25, reading from verse 14, and I'll read just for time's sake. It says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. The master brought the other 5, right, correct. Master, he said, you have entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with just a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Now, verse 22. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents, and see, I have gained 2 more. His master said, well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come share your master's happiness. Verse number 24. The man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that thou art a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown, and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. In verse number 28, take a talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, this is really interesting. You notice how Jesus is very descriptive of these people that he has given these gifts to? When I was a kid, one of the things that I enjoyed the most was a cartoon called X-Men. How many of you have ever watched X-Men? One of the reasons why I enjoyed X-Men was because it had some people in there who had some extraordinary abilities. You had Storm, and she was able to control the weather system. You had Wolverine. He was the one that was able to be healed in less than a minute after he got shot or got stabbed or got cut. And he also had those claws that when he started using them, he can cut through anything. We're talking about extraordinary abilities. You also had Cyclops. Remember, Cyclops was the one that wore that little helmet around, and he had the laser beam come out of his eyes, and he can just blow up anything. He had such great power. And I used to enjoy watching X-Men, and I used to thought to myself, man, I wish that if I had those abilities like these guys, imagine what I could have done. But you also remember with X-Men that there were also another guy. His name was Professor X, and his responsibility was what? His responsibility was to gather all of the talents and to help develop these talents so that they can be utilized for good and not for evil. And that was Professor X's responsibility. Now, this particular chapter here that we're reading is all about that. Here was a master who called all of his servants together. And as he called his servants, he said, listen, I have a job for you. I have a responsibility for you. And it is so important, because here's the thing. God has gifted every single one of us in this room today, and has given us the resources in order for us to maximize his kingdom. Now, what is interesting about this passage, it's not really talking about gifts so much as it really was talking about when Christ returned. Because if you look at chapter 24, you would see that the disciples went to Jesus and they said, Jesus, I want you to tell us what will be the sign of your coming. And when is it going to happen? And Jesus began to meet with them and Jesus said, listen, first thing I want you to understand is let nobody deceive you. There is going to be a day come when there is going to be great deception and nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom before the Son of Man. But he said, listen, the day that the Son of Man comes, no one will know. He said, not even the Son knows. And then he went on and he started giving this parable and he started saying, let me explain it to you a little bit better. Now, a parable is just a heavenly story, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's pretty much what a parable is. So Jesus used parables often in his ministry so that the people could understand a little bit better. And Jesus said, listen, the kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise. And then he said, listen, guess what's going to happen? The bridegroom is going to come. And it's the one that is prepared and ready for the bridegroom is going to go with him. And then Jesus moved on a little bit further. And Jesus said, now the kingdom of heaven, when he come down to verse 14, is like a man who entrusted his servant with his wealth. Now, throughout this whole series, you've been hearing about money. And one of the things that you hear Pastor Gary talks about all the time is that we are stewards. And a steward is nothing but a manager. That means that God has entrusted his possession to us, and it is our responsibility to manage it. As a matter of fact, the first man on earth was given the responsibility of managing. And his job was to manage the Garden of Eden. God gave Adam that responsibility. So guess what? Jesus is saying the same thing here. Listen, I am giving you a responsibility. I am giving you some resources. And one day, I'm going to come back. And I am going to hold you accountable for the resources that I have given you. So he goes on and he said, listen, so the kingdom of heaven, look at verse 14, it's like a man going on a far journey who have called the servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents of money, and to another 1 talent, each according to his own ability. So we understand here that Jesus has gifted every single one of us with the resources necessary to carry out his will. But here is the interesting thought part about it. Because God has given us these resources, it is our responsibility to manage God's possession by giving careful attention to the gifts and the resources that he has given us. The second thing is, God wants you to manage his resources with his interest in mind. You see, some of us, we get a little bit of money and we have a little bit of gift. And the first thing we think about is how this is going to make me look. But whatever it is that God has given you, it is not for you to look good. It's for him to look good. And so it is important that you and I make sure that we manage the resources that God has given us in order for us to be effective in his ministry. The third thing I want you to understand about this is that God will hold us accountable. And I want you to remember that, because this is the whole theme of what Jesus was saying here, is that there is going to be a day when God is going to call you and he's going to say to you, what did you do with what I have given you? So here you understand that God has given these people some gifts. Now, here's the interesting part about it. Each gift that was given according to their abilities. In other words, God did not give you any one of them more than they can manage. The other thing is, God never gave them less than they could manage. So each one that God has given a gift, notice what God does. He gives it according to his own ability. Now, one of the things I want you to understand here. So you see right here, it says that, so the master came and he gave 1 5, he gave 1 2, and he gave 1 1, right? And all of them is according to how they are able to manage it. So here's the thing. Every single one of us that are here has been given a gift. Now, these gifts have been separated into 3 categories. Now, the first one that you need to understand is that God has given us some natural abilities. So let's think about it. Michael Jordan, he has a natural ability to play the game of basketball. Wouldn't you say that? Tiger Woods, he has a natural ability to play golf. Steve Jobs, he has a natural ability to work on computers and electronics. Wouldn't you say that? Venus and Serena Williams, they have a natural ability to do what? Play the game of tennis. So every single one of us that is in this room, there is a natural ability that God has given you. Now, that natural ability that you have is to help you to earn an income or to be the best that you can be, to be productive on the earth. But if you're going to use your natural abilities, remember the number one rule is, it is to glorify God. So God has given us some natural abilities. The second thing is, God has given us some spiritual gifts. And you find that in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, you will see where Jesus went down, where Paul was describing some of the gift that Jesus gave. He said that the ascended Christ rose and he gave gifts unto men. To some he gave the gift of apostleship. To some he gave the gift of teaching. To some he gave the gift of encouragement. So you have some spiritual gift that was given to you by the Lord Jesus through the Holy Spirit. So every single believer, once you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he gives you a spiritual gift. But we have a problem, because in most of the churches, you will find that 90% of the people are sitting back and allowing 10% of the people to do maximum work. Which means that there are 90% of the people who are not utilizing the gift that God has given them. And those 10% that are remained, guess what? Not only are they utilizing their gift, but they are taking up for the slack of those who are not utilizing their gift. So how effective can they be? So every single one of us was given some gift. We have the natural abilities, we have the spiritual gift, and there is also another gift, which is the supernatural abilities. Those are those people who have the, you've read in scriptures, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it talks about the those who have the gift of speaking in tongues, those who have the gift of healing, those who have the gift of prophecy. Those are some supernatural abilities that God has given. And those abilities are usually given for specific tasks that the believers are to carry out. So here, God has uncovered everything. Every single one of us here has a gift. You got a gift, you got a gift, you got a gift. We all got a gift. Every single one of us has a gift. Now, what is our responsibility once we have discovered that we have that gift? God wants you to develop it. It is our responsibility to develop the gift that God has gifted us with. Let me go on a little bit. So, we read right here where he gave 1 5, and he gave 1 2, and he gave 1 1. So here we were talking about abilities. Now here's the interesting thing about abilities. Every single one of us have a maximum ability. Why? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, what it says, I can do all things through Christ, who do what? Strengthens me. So here you find Paul is saying, look at the whole idea here, what Jesus has done. He says that I can do all things, which means that I have the maximum potential. So as a believer, I have max potential to do anything that God has gifted me with. Not only that, he says, look, through Christ who gives you strength, which means that not only do I have the max potential, but I also have the maximum strength. So if I have the maximum strength and the maximum potential, what is left? Do all things. You see that? You see, you have the strength, you have the ability, but now the responsibility comes on you to now act and to do. Now here's a question. Are you doing what God has gifted you to do? Are you carrying out your gift the way God has given it to you? And so this is what the Bible here was speaking about when he says he gave 1 5, and he gave 1 2, and he gave 1 1, all according to their abilities. So here is one of the things that we need to understand about this. We have the maximum potential. We have the maximum strength. So God is saying that I have given you all of these maximum abilities so that you can develop the gifts that I have given you. Now, what is our responsibility? How do we develop the gifts that God has given us? Well, the first thing you have to understand is, if you're going to, before you develop the gift that God has given you, I say you find your gift in 3 D's. 3 D's. See if you can follow me with this one. Number one, discover it. Discover the gift that God has given you. Now, how do you discover what gift God has given you? Number one, you find out, what is it that I'm good at? What is it that I'm really, really good at? You know, for a long time in my life, I didn't realize what I was good at. I grew up, man, and I was a runner. I was so fast. For many of you that probably remember me from track, from camp, I have never lost a race. Let's just put it that way. Yeah. The only race I lost was when I got tricked, and I'll tell you how. One day, we were sitting by the pool. Pastor Gary came up to me, and he was like, Calvin, you can swim really good, man. I was like, yeah. He was like, hey, you want to challenge me for a little bit? I'm here sitting thinking, you know, I got Gary by height. And I think I got him a little bit by age, a little bit younger. So I really think that I can outdo this man. So I got ready. We went over there by the pool. And I just, we jumped off. And I was swimming. And I knew I got Gary. Because all I could think of, all I could see in front of me was just the wall and me. And then I looked a little bit over to the side, and there was Gary at the finish line. I was like, what? I said, Gary, how'd you do that, man? Gary said, I was on the swim team all throughout high school. I was like, man, you hustled me. So my gift was that when I was young, I was really fast. But you know what? I never realized that I was. I just did it just because I was just good at it. But I never realized that God has gifted me naturally with that ability to run. It never really dawned on me. And so I never really developed it to what I could have done with that gift. Many of you also knew that I have a gift of music. I'm musically inclined. I love music, right? I've actually sung a couple of songs at camp that I regret. And there are some brothers that don't let me forget. I'm not going to call Brother Donald's name, but anyway, I'm not even going to repeat the song. But thank God that they allowed me, though. Even though I didn't realize what I was good at, they allowed me to exercise those gifts while I was at camp. So we're talking about developing gifts. So we're talking about, first, you got to discover it. You got to find out what you're good at. The other thing you have to do is ask some people around you, what do you think I'm good at? Ask some people that you know. What do you think I'm good at? You've known. And I would ask people that you've known for a long time. People who, don't go ask your enemy what you're good at. Because they'll tell you that you can sing and you can go on American Idols. And then you'll be like, man, you told me I could sing. Now I'm the joke of the world. So it's important that you learn how to discover those gifts. So you find out, what is it that you're good at? Ask some people around you, what do you think I'm good at? The other thing is to find out what you're passionate about. What is it that drives me? What am I passionate? What do I really like? What do I really enjoy? Because when you find that out, you're starting to discover your gift. Second thing you have to do is to develop your gift. You have to develop your gift. Now, here's how you develop your gift. Number one, whenever you're developing your gift, the first thing you have to do is you have to first practice what has been given to you. Now, here's the thing. Michael Jordan, you don't know the whole story about Michael Jordan. Most people will see Michael Jordan right now and say, man, he's a great basketball player. One day I want to be just like Michael Jordan. But what they don't tell you is how hard this guy practices to become better at basketball. There was even one tennis player, after she finished having a match, one of the announcers came over to her and said, hey, listen, we need to have an interview with you. She said, you know what? If you just give me a few moments, after about an hour, I'm going to go practice first. They're like, you just won the Wimbledon. How are you going to go back to practice? But this is how she develops her gift. She practices. So let's go on a little bit, and I'm trying to finish this up real quick. There's a lot of information, and I don't want to go all through it, but I want to give you just enough so you can really understand that God has given you these gifts, and it is our responsibility to learn how to develop these gifts. So here is success. One of the things that most people don't understand is success. What makes you successful? What makes you successful? What makes a person successful? What gives you success in anything that you do? One of the well-known motivational speaker that we know of, his name is Zig Ziglar. And he said, success is not how well I do compared to how others are doing. But here's what success is. He says, success is how well I do compared to what I'm capable of doing. So in other words, I don't measure myself against what another person is doing. What I measure myself against is how well I am doing compared to how my potential is. So what are we really saying? What we're saying is this. If you're going to reach success, your potential must match. Well, let me rephrase that. Your performance must match your potential. Yeah, you guys get that? Let me see if I can give you a real down-to-earth example. Joe Philbin was just fired from the Miami Dolphins last week. And most of you celebrated. Watch this now. Why do you think Joe Philbin was fired? Because if you look at the Dolphins roster, they have one of the best teams in the AFC East. Right? Most people may say New England, but really, if you look at it, we have a $100 million quarterback. We have a $100 million defensive player. The most dominant defensive player in the NFL, apart from J.J. Watts. Right? So, why was he fired? He was fired because the Miami Dolphins' potential was this high. But their performance on the field was 1-3 in four games. And management said, listen, because your performance doesn't meet your potential, I got to let you go. Now, how do you develop your gift? Your performance must meet your potential. That is why this verse is so important. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God has given you the strength and the ability, now your performance must meet your potential. And once your performance meets your potential, then you can actually say, wait a second, I'm successful. Watch this. When your performance doesn't meet your potential, what's the first thing you say? That's failure. You ever seen some people who have natural abilities and you say, if I only had your gift, just imagine what I could do. But those people just never live up to their potential. In 2003, Jamarcus Russell, who was a quarterback from LSU, was drafted number one in the NBA, in the NFL, to our beloved Peter Dawkins' favorite team, the Raiders. That's what's wrong with them. Anyway, so they drafted Jamarcus Russell, number one pick. He had a cannon of an arm. They paid that guy $61 million to be the first round pick. As a matter of fact, when he was first drafted, he held out for half of the season almost. And when he came in the season and was ready to play, he was overweight and he underperformed. Eventually, he became the biggest bust in the NFL apart from Ryan Leaf, if you're a football fan. So Jamarcus Russell was considered a bust. Why? Because his performance did not meet his potential. Let me ask you a question. If your performance don't meet your potential, is it fair for us to say that you are a bust as a believer? If you are living your life and I'm just going to church and I'm just enjoying the sermon, well, the pastor don't preach right, well, they don't sing right, but I do nothing with the gift that God has given me, then your potential is not matching with your performance. And then we can say that spiritually, you're a bust. And this is exactly what was going on here with here. He gave 1.5. He gave 1.2, and he gave 1.1. And what was the first thing that the 5 did after he got his gift? So I told you, you need to discover it, you need to develop it, and the third thing you need to do is double it. Wow, that sounds a little bit scary. You mean I need to double the gift that God? Exactly. Notice what the first one did. The one who received 5, right? Take a look at it. It says, the one who, then he went on a journey, the man who had received 5 talents went at once, put his money to work, and gained how much? 5 more. The one that received 2 did likewise, put his money to work, and what happened? He gained 2. Right? So he doubled his. And what happened to the one that received 1? He took it and he did absolutely nothing with it. And he buried it. So he didn't discover his gift. He didn't develop his gift. And he did not double his gift. You might be saying to me, well, Calvin, where's that scriptural that we're supposed to double our gift? Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 8. He said that every single one of us must bear fruits. And he says that those that bear fruit, what does he do? He purged them so that they can bear more fruit. So God is not just satisfied with, I'm just doing the best that I can, you know. No. You've got to maximize the gift that God has given you. You have got to double that gift that God has given you. How do you double your gift? One of the things that I didn't tell you yet was the fact that every gift that was given, the first one that was given to you was the gift of natural abilities so that you can make an income and support your family and support your life. The second one was so that you can develop your believers around you. The purpose of spiritual gifts is to build up the body of Christ. So that means if you have the gift of singing and I am hurting and your singing can help to soothe me and to help encourage me, you're sing on. Because you're now building up the body of Christ. So if you have a word of encouragement and you know the struggles and the difficulties that I'm going through, you don't come over to me and says, you know what? I'm just praying for you, brother. Or you need to repent of your sin and turn. No. You encourage, because while you're doing that, you are building up the body of Christ. And that is the purpose and the reason for why God has given us these gifts, so that we can build up one another. Can you imagine what PCC would look like if even 50% of us were utilizing the gift that God has given us? Can you imagine? There would be cars lined up to come to service on a Sunday morning because we have decided to utilize the gifts that God has given us. It is important that we understand that once we find out that God has given us these gifts, we need to discover it. Once we discover the gift, we need to develop it. Once we develop the gift, go out there and double it. Because when we do that, there is no limit to what God would do. One of the interesting things that we learned, and you learn when Gary's talking about tithe and offering, he said, try God. Test him. You want to see God work? Utilize the gift that God has given you. Just imagine what you could be. When I talk about developing, I mean, seek opportunities to utilize your gift. Now, here's the interesting thing, and I'm closing in about 5 minutes. Here's the interesting thing about seeking the opportunities to utilize your gift. Most of us, we have these gifts, and we're like, well, the church ain't giving me no opportunity. They're using so-and-so, and they don't use me anymore. Brother so-and-so is always preaching. Sister so-and-so is always singing. But here's it. You have to seek opportunity in order to exercise your gift. Now, one of the things that I learned about opportunity is this. Most people have learned throughout their life that opportunity knocks. That is false. Opportunity has never knocked on my door. I was sitting there for years. I'm just waiting for somebody to knock and help me out right now. Up till now, I'm 37 years old, and opportunities still haven't knocked. But I've learned this. You want opportunity? Here's it. Opportunity does not come to the people who are ill-prepared. Let me see if we can dissect that a little bit. The story of the 10 virgins, the 5 that was foolish and the 5 that was wise. Here was what happened. There was going to be an opportunity for them to go with the bridegroom. But only 5 of them was prepared. And the other 5 wasn't prepared. And because they weren't prepared, they missed the opportunity. So while we sit here and we're saying, we're just waiting for the opportunity. I'm just waiting for opportunity to knock. You're not giving me the opportunity. Guess what? You don't get opportunity because you don't prepare for opportunity. There's a lot of people, as African Americans sometimes, we like to blame the government. We like to blame the white man and say, the white man don't give me no job. What is wrong with us? You've got to prepare for opportunity. Once you prepare for it, guess what? Opportunity will not miss you. Because I have prepared. So I had the gift of singing. Every day I get up, I'm singing. I'm studying how to sing. I'm finding out a whole lot of, I'm going on YouTube. I'm searching all these songs and I'm listening to them so that I can develop the gift that God has given me. Once I develop those gifts, guess what? Then the opportunity comes. You know, I've worked with Brother Donat. We served together on the camp committee. And one of the things that I've noticed with Brother Donat is Brother Donat, he will never knock down an idea. Usually we come to him and we say, you know, Brother Donat, I'm thinking about doing this. He may have his objection, but you know what he would say? Let me see what you can do. I don't believe that if you come to this church and you come with an idea and come to the leaders and say, hey, listen, I have this idea because of this gift that God has given me and I want to utilize it. They're not going to say to you, no, that will never work. They give you the opportunity and you do it. When I was about 18 years old, I had this passion on me to go out there and to try to help develop young men and to lead them in Bible study and to help them to become even closer and closer unto the Lord. And I went to Brother Peter and I said, Peter, listen, I have this idea. And Peter said, you know what? Go ahead. And every Wednesday after that, we met with these young men. We had Bible study. A lot of it was at Uncle Peter's house. They opened up their home. And I got the opportunity to exercise my gift in that capacity. But if I never did anything, the opportunity would have never reached me. When I was about 16 years old, Brother Morris came to me in my Sunday school class and said, hey, Calvin, I want you to teach this class. I said, what? Now, here is the funny thing. I was teaching a class amongst my peers. They knew me. To be honest, I wasn't the best Christian at that time. But he saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself. Throughout my life, when I was a kid, they used to tell me, Calvin, you're a parrot, you talk too much. You're always talking, man. Here comes parrot. So all throughout my life, I've always had this ability to speak, but I just never realized it. But Brother Morris and some of the other leaders at church, they saw it in me. They saw that gift in me, and they gave me that opportunity to speak in front of my peers. But here's the whole thing. From about 16 to about maybe 29 or 30, I had the gift of speaking, but I never developed it. I spoke every now and then. I did Bible studies. I led many times in church. But here was it. I was only operating based on just a little that I knew. And then when I started learning that God expects you to double your gift, I said, how can I maximize this gift that God has given me? So I decided, you know what? I need training. I need to learn how to speak. I need to learn how to be a better public speaker. And so after years and years of delaying and delaying, I said to myself, you know what? I am going to go to Toastmasters. And I went to Toastmasters. And I started learning a little bit about the art of public speaking. Not only did I go to Toastmasters, but I had books. I had tapes. And I listened to them. And I read them. And it taught me how to be a better speaker. And now I'm standing before you exercising the gift that God has given me. But here is the interesting thing. It is not me. It is actually God who saw it in me. So here is it. Every single one of you have gift that God has given you. And God expects you to utilize that gift for his kingdom. But in order for you to utilize it, you have got to discover it. And once you discover it, you have got to develop it. And when you develop it, you have got to double it. Last thing I would like to say to you is, do whatever you do with excellence. Don't half step. Throughout my life, that's what I did. I did everything halfway. And I did not do it with excellence. And I did not honor God with the gift that God has given me. When you do what you do with excellence, here's what's going to happen. There is going to be an increase. And that is when you're going to be able to double your gift. Maximum strength. Maximum potential. Let me perform to that level. Let us get ready to bow our heads in prayer. I want to tell you this. There are many of us here that are believers this morning, and I want you to know that every single one of you, God has gifted. Every one of you. And we have to learn how to develop that gift. Now, here's the interesting thing I told you, and I never got a lot of chance to go into this, but one of the things I want to tell you is this. Listen, when you effectively utilize the gift that God has given you, there is a day coming when God is going to judge us according to what we do with the gift. And when you get some time and you go home and you read this, you'll read what God said to those two people who utilized their gift to the maximum potential. God said to them, well done, good and faithful servant. But the one person who did not utilize his gift, look at the description. He said, you are wicked. You are lazy. And God took what he gave him and gave it to the people who were productive. One of the reasons why many of us are not receiving the blessings that we need to receive in our life is because we have been not productive with the gifts that God has given us. And once you start taking those gifts and start putting them to work, watch God give the increase. If you're here this morning and you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there is a gift that you are going to be responsible for. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then he didn't stop there. And he said, for the wages of sin is death. So for every sin that you commit, the number one reward for your sin is death. But the Bible says this, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. If you have not received that gift, you are going to be held responsible for it. And if you are here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I will encourage you to not walk out of here without that gift. Because that gift is your ticket to meeting the Lord in glory. And as I said, God is going to ask you. That's the one gift that everyone will have to give an account for. So on the day of judgment, God is going to look at you and he's going to say, listen, what did you do with the gift that I gave you, which is Jesus Christ? He came and he died on the cross for your sins so you can have eternal life. Now, if you're here and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that gift is available right now. And God wants to give you that gift. If that is you this morning, just simply raise your hand. We would just like to lead you in a word of prayer, just so you can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and receive that gift of eternal life. Now that's a gift that you've got to agree that I can't pass up on that. I've received some gifts in my life, but never have anyone given me eternal life aside from Jesus Christ. And that's a gift that you cannot give up on. And the other reason why you can't give up on it is because you're going to be held accountable for it. Here's the interesting thing about that gift, folks. It's free. You don't have to pay for it. God wants to give you that gift this morning. So if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and you would like to come to know him, just simply raise your hand with me. I pray that as you're there and the Lord is tugging on your heart, please do not walk out of this building without receiving Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. For those of you that are here and you have known the Lord and you've spent some time with the Lord, but you know that God has gifted you with something, but you haven't developed it and you haven't utilized it for his glory. And if you want to learn how to utilize that for his glory, we're just going to just take a minute. I'm going to let you pray. And in your prayer, let's make a commitment that we're going to utilize the gift that God has given us. I am going to develop it. If I don't know what the gift is, I am going to discover it. If I want to learn what my gifts are, I'm going to find out some spiritual gift inventory. You can go online. There are so many inventory. There's a checklist that can teach you about some of the things that you are really gifted at and can help you so you can see what your gift is. And once you have found out what your gift is, now you can develop it. And when you have developed it, then you can utilize it effectively here. And just watch God work. Just watch God work. So let us just pray. Our Father, we come before you. And we lay our lives before you, O God. Because we know, O God, you are the great giver. And you give gifts. But not only that, but you give good gifts. You give the best gifts. You have given us gifts so that we can be productive here on this earth, so that we can build up one another in this church, oh God, so that we can carry out your commandment until you return. Father, help us that we may utilize these gifts, develop them to the best of our ability, discover them, oh God, so that when you come, you will be able to look at us and say, well done, the good and faithful servant. May you never have to call any one of us wicked. May you never have to call any one of us lazy, oh God. May we utilize the gifts that you have given us to carry out your command. All this we lay before you in the name of Jesus. Amen.